Hello, you're back. It's good to see you. My name's Rob London. So here we go again. Episode 2. Tricky, isn't it? It's a bit like that second album. The Beatles struggled, yet Milli Vanilli surprisingly went straight to number 1 in the US charts. Coming up in today's podcast, we'll review all the action from the opening game against Wire and Leeds. Discuss, ironically, is Kevin Brown's tragic Achilles heel injury the Achilles heel in Wire's title chances? Madam Boyd rubs her balls together and comes up with the rumour of the week. There'll be tributes to the wonderful players, sadly no longer with us. And the show receives its first sponsorship. Advertisement coming up later in the show. So down low, press play on your cassette deck or put your needle to the record and enjoy the second album of What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Right, let's get cracking. We're on the stop clock now. Okay, so let's say hello to my two ladies in waiting. Firstly, he's the man living amongst the hipster population in Glastonbury that love nothing more than a fixed gear bicycle. He tried his utmost last week to secure a free case of Timothy Taylor's. It's Dennis Waywell. Dennis, hello.
Yes, I'm still waiting for the case, but as you can see, I've got my top on today, Timothy Taylor top.
Yeah, I'll just explain to the listeners, he's wearing his Timothy Taylor's top.
Yeah. It's I'm growing a beard to suit, like one of the hipsters, just want to get a curly moustache going. And I think if I hear one of your long, boring anecdotes today, I think I'll probably turn vegan by the end of this podcast.
Okay, secondly, he's the gent with the stats, last week providing us with Chris Hill's remarkable percentages, why Stephen Ratchford's a fullback of the 21st century, the Tyrone Roberts bombshell of the Halliwell Heatergate, and let's not forget, he brought us one third of Helen Skelton's vital statistics. It's Sam Sankey. Hello, Sam.
Good morning. Good evening for you over there in Australia.
You sound a little bit hungover today.
Jaded.
So you went for a Ruby Murray after the game?
Yeah, well, that was the end of it, yeah. We went for pre-drinks, then we had drinks at the match, then we had for curry and a bit of a dissection of the match with a couple of the lads. I'm all right now, though. I've had a couple of hours sleep. I've got a nice strong coffee.
I used to go for curries with Dennis, but he'd always have steak and chips. He couldn't even manage a korma.
Can't beat steak and chips. Protein at that time of night.
Mike Gregory turned up morning and night, weekends, when he didn't have to, for extra training.
And Mike was the calming influence, the common sense approach.
He's a player who's got pace and who can run. Yes, but well, I think what we need now is Warrington to score a try here. Gregory, and there is a try!
True club captain. In Mike Gregory's eyes, we could have still won with 5 minutes to go, even though we were like 16, 20 points down, whatever it was. One of the nicest people I've ever come across in my life. He was hardcore, Mike, and that's the way to be. So I love Mike Gregory, and he was a great friend, and I miss him every day.
Okay, well, we're going to make this a bit shorter this week than last week, but we're going to start, I think, with something that broke between the podcast last week and the game. The very last training session for Warrington ended in tears for Kevin Brown, a snapped Achilles heel. Sam, you've got some stats on Kevin. I know he's been to a lot of finals. It's not always worked out for him, though.
No, it's not. And if I could find the stats, I'd tell you. Oh, here they are.
He's forgotten already.
He's found them on a postage stamp.
I have. I've found them on a postage stamp. Yeah, exactly. Kevin Brown moved clubs a lot, of course. Wigan Warriors, Huddersfield Giants, Widnes Vikings, Warrington Wolves. He joined Wigan 2003. He didn't play in the grand final that year, but then the following year he was a loser in a 2004 Challenge Cup final. He went to Huddersfield, where he was a loser in a Challenge Cup final in 2009 against us, of course. Last year, he played for two finals for us, lost them both. He went to the World Cup final with England and lost that final. So on the face of it, it doesn't look great. Really, I think you've got to consider he was playing for Huddersfield and Widnes in the prime of his career, and neither team went to a final. Neither team were expected to go and win any finals. So, you know, was he just not playing for the right teams at the right time?
Mm. Yeah, tricky one. Well, I mean, looking a bit more into this, of course, Greek mythology and the history of Achilles, he's notable for slaying Hector outside the gates of Troy. But as a child, Achilles was dipped in the magical river of the River Styx, which led to his almighty strength. Problem being, when his mother dipped him into the river, she held him by his heels. And hence, in the end, he was killed by an arrow in the heel. Thus, the Achilles heel. Dennis, based on Wigan mythology, what shitty body of water would you say Kevin Brown was dipped into?
Well, I thought this question might come up. I've been looking at the Wigan topography.
Yes.
And I believe that the Leeds-Liverpool Canal goes through there.
Mm.
And if you go onto the Manchester Evening News website, there is actually a story. And you want to see what the things that they've pulled out of the canal
Ooh.
At the last dredging session. The first item on the list is a 13-plate A-class Merc. So, you know, looking quite good at the moment. Second was a World War II hand grenade. So...
with the pin in?
Well, I'm not sure. It didn't say. Let's hope so. Thirdly, interesting, was a 16-foot dead python. So, I don't know who in Wigan has lost a snake, but they can have a proper burial now.
Right.
Antique poison bottles. So, you know, this could be obviously very problematic for anybody putting their head in there. A VW camper van. Something that, you know, would be acceptable down in Glastonbury. Probably pay about 20 grand for that in any condition.
Yeah, very good.
This is probably the best one. A pizza delivery bike with a soggy cardboard box and pizza. So nobody wanted that pizza that night. Headless Paddington Bear.
What kind of pizza did we play last night? We were all toppings last night, weren't we?
It was
with
Hawaiian,
a nice cheesy crust.
Hawaiian music going. Yeah, it was great. Darts medal. And finally, just to throw one in, an adult toy. So an interesting mix that you find in the canal. So having been dipped in that canal, I would say a bit like Kevin Brown's journey between clubs, he's probably picked up a lot of items, a lot of skills. And essentially, he's the ultimate journeyman with a lot of the skills picked up along the way.
Well, let's hope he doesn't throw all his runners-up medals in the canal now.
Well, interesting segue that, Dennis. Thank you. Kevin Brown was from St. Helens.
Well, his mother might have been travelling in the camper van.
I'm only doing the Wigan mythology tonight, Statman.
That's very true. Sam, what body of water were you dipped into by your mother?
Probably Lim Dam, I would imagine.
Right.
South of the river.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think I was
to go
probably
paddling in the Manchester Ship Canal.
With the dredger. I think I was dipped into the Bridgewater Canal by my mum. But I've got quite serious prostate problems, so I think she probably dipped me in holding me like a six pack.
Oh dear.
Fair enough. Okay. Have we seen the end of Kevin Brown?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
I think the thing is, the comforting thing about it is that I think Price had a bit of a chat about it online this week, and he said that, you know, the club's going to get behind him, getting back to full fitness. So whether he plays for us or not, it doesn't really matter, but it'd be nice to see him get back to full fitness and have a season somewhere.
Yeah, it would be great. Yeah. It'd be nice to see him maybe on the coaching staff, or, I don't know, maybe having a flutter somewhere else. Who knows, might go on a cup.
Yeah, you've just mentioned that. I was going to say that. He's always very well spoken of within all the teams he's been in. So whether that lends itself to being a coach or being an assistant, you know, the day-to-day go-between the head coach and the squad, be interesting to see where he goes.
Gregory. Oh, beautiful run for Johnson. Now this boy can run. He's got pace. Superb try. Perfect timing. This lad Johnson, I've seen him time and time again come in from the fullback position, take the ball, and he must be one of the fastest, quickest fullbacks in the game. 13 points to 4 for Warrington. Tremendous movement.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to just pull up two other similar halfbacks and similar sort of careers, if you like, and just ask you your thoughts. Kevin Brown, fully fit, and maybe from 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, would you have him instead of Danny Brough?
How old's Danny Brough at the time?
Oh, about 97.
So you've got them at the same age?
Similar, that's what I'm saying. They're similar. They've both been around a long time. Neither of them's quite made it. Would you prefer Brown or Brough?
It's a tricky one, that. If I'm going to be brutally honest, I don't want either.
All right. What about Matty Smith?
No, pass there as well.
All right. So right place at right time. Danny Brough won a Challenge Cup final with Hull. And Matty Smith won 2 grand finals and a Challenge Cup final with Wigan. So, right place, right time. If Kevin Brown had been in that Wigan team for a bit longer, would he have won more things? It's hard to compare, isn't it?
Well, why wasn't he in the Wigan team for longer?
Well, they obviously didn't think he was quite good enough, did they?
Right.
Well, Matty Smith was with St Helens and didn't play in their 06, 07, 08 and 09 finals because Long and Price were there. He was the understudy. He was the deck pattern, if you like.
And that's why he's the stat man. Okay. Well, we'll move on then to the game last night. Warrington 26, Leeds 6. Dennis got closest to the score. He predicted 26-12. So well done, Dennis. You're very close. The team last night was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, Atkins, Charnley, Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper. Little bit of a surprise. Toby King in the second row alongside Hughes and Westwood started at loose forward. The interchange bench was Jason Clark, Ben Murdoch-Masilla, Philbin and the young Walker. First of all, was it the side we expected?
With one noticeable exception, and that was Toby King at second row.
I mean, we do seem to have an abundance of second row forwards, so it did seem a little bit of a surprise that all of a sudden he popped him in there. Do you think there was a bit of loyalty from last year? I mean, there was no Jake Mamo either, even though he got a hat-trick in the Atkins testimonial.
I suppose it depends how they've been going in training. Did he think the mobility... I mean, we talked about Toby King quite a lot last week, didn't we? But did he think the mobility of King would offer something? He did look, to use your phrase, he looked like he'd bulked up over the close season.
Over the pre-season, I saw him in town. Oh, he's definitely bulked up.
But whether that's just an optical illusion because they're wearing hoops this year.
Well, you were pissed, Sam.
Not by then. I did have to watch the last 10 or 15 minutes on Sky again just to make sure I remembered their try as I thought I had.
I'm just writing down that hoops make you look bigger. That's going in the tackle bag because they're about week 14.
Well, apparently hoops don't make you look bigger. Stripes have now proven to make you look bigger. Mm. And soon, our hoops seem to sit very low, don't they? They're right down there on the hips. Don't you think they're a bit low, those hoops?
They don't seem around my beer gut.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll run through the first half. I've sort of put down a few notes here in terms of what happened during the first half and times next to it. The first moment in the game was probably in the second minute. Ratchford dropped a ball not too dissimilar to the one he dropped at Wembley. It was a contested ball. Leeds then ran on and scored a try. Were we surprised that the ref didn't go to the video ref on that. He seemed to make his decision very quickly. Were we all happy that there was a knock on there?
Definitely. The opposite end of the ground to where I sit. But yeah, knock on all day.
Okay, fair enough.
Biased view there.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, what did completely. You see, Dennis? I didn't. I thought Ratchford dropped it. I thought that was the way that it there was definitely a hand in there. But I was just more surprised that the referee had the opportunity to go to the video ref, seeing that the play rolled on, and he didn't.
Yeah, but I think, you know, that's where the beauty of having Stuart Cummins on side all the time, being able to explain it for you, is superb, which I think we all acknowledged last week, didn't we?
Jesus Christ. Moving on. First 10 minutes then were sort of nip and tuck. Goodwin did break down that left-hand edge. He threw a ball inside to Austin, which Austin dropped. Should he have taken that ball?
Yeah, he should have done. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was cold and he's got cold hands. So maybe that's something he should look at. But I think I noted down he did a couple of things. He tried to force a pass wide before that as well. And then he dropped the ball a few minutes later. And I think at the end of the day, he was just probably trying a little bit too hard early on. But I think once he'd put a couple of kicks in, he sort of settled down a bit then.
You used to be like that, Dennis, and Mr. Smith, didn't you, early on? You used to try too hard until you got into your rhythm. If we could get you in your pants.
Yeah, I'd buggered off by 11 o'clock and gone to Legends, left you to it.
Okay, all right. The 12th minute, Hughes' sin bin, and all of a sudden, Warrington come alive. In the 14th minute, we have a try. Patton, round the back to Ratchford, little bit of a dummy by King, pretty simple stuff. Should Leeds have done better there? They seem to have, you know, had ample numbers over on that side, yet just didn't cope with it.
They were all moving out, expecting him to pass it wider, weren't they? And he just stepped back inside three of them, really.
Yeah.
I think the simbining of Hughes and that 10-minute spell really changed the entire match, wouldn't it? We suddenly went direct. We speeded up the play of the ball. And they couldn't. They were always going backwards. Mm. They were always going backwards from there. And we went downfield, obviously. And I thought, yeah, he stepped back inside. And for those people who say he's only carrying it in one hand, he managed to score because he was carrying it in one hand, didn't he?
Yeah.
Thought it could have been an 8-point try. He did get a smack to the head as he was going over. If it was in normal play, he'd probably been penalised that for a high tackle.
That's true. Okay, well, then we learnt something about the team this year, because up steps Stephen Ratchford to take the conversion. Mm. Are we then to believe that Ratchford will be the kicker?
If it's in front of the post.
Ooh. I mean, he doesn't half give it a hoof, doesn't he? I mean, I don't know if we've got any stats on kicking, but did he start last year as our kicker? Was he the first one to have a bit of a go at it? Was it Goodwin last year that started as our kicker?
Goodwin last year, and then Ratchford and Roberts kicked a little bit, then Levette kicked a bit.
I mean, Roberts was towards the end. Roberts was certainly the best of the kickers last year.
I think they were protecting his knee, weren't they, last year, to begin with?
Yeah, the old knee, till he got it sorted out. One player I do want to mention, which sort of led to our next penalty, I think it was in the end it was Hill that got the penalty. They didn't get away at the play of the ball. But one guy who I thought had a very good 15-minute spell at the start, and I was a little bit surprised to see him in there, was Benny Westwood. I thought he was outstanding in his first 15 minutes, took the ball up endless amounts of times, made good yards. It looks like that's possibly the way we're going to run with this year. Westwood comes on early, and then we swap him over for, I think it was Clark came on, wasn't it, after Westwood went off.
He did about 18 straight minutes, I think. And
yeah,
he was still running strong at the end of that as well. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was spot on. Made a lot of yards. Okay, well, Ratchford converts the kick. We make it 8-0. And then on the 28th minute, very simple play. Atkins scoots from dummy half down the blind side, passes to Charnley. We're in again. Leeds seem to have about 4 players on that right edge. Again, just totally misread the play.
Yeah, but again, it was from a quick play of the ball. They were still going backwards. You had Blake Austin running off for himself again. And I can't believe I'm about to say this. Atkins throws a cutout pass straight to his winger when everyone's probably expecting him just to bump it off to Blake Austin.
Ratkins! Did you get it out? Did you get the shout out?
Kevin, give it to me on the wing! Do you think Austin called that play?
What, Ratkins?
He certainly called the run around, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Can we just mention a couple of the Leeds players at this point? Because, I mean, it's the first time we've seen him play as well.
Who?
I've got down Merritt, looked like he had a few ales.
Would you say, Dennis, with him coming from Leeds, that possibly it was a case of Timothy Taylor on the coach coming over?
That sounds like it could be the case. Although, that wouldn't probably slow you down. That would probably give you a bit of pep. Mm. So...
He looked a bit grumpy to me. He just looked like he was just offside all game. He wasn't happy, was he? He sort of thought, oh, I'm in Super League now. I can boss this. And it didn't quite go his way. And he got grumpier and grumpier as the game went on.
I'd say that was pretty much summed his game up. He did absolutely nothing. Is he their marquee player?
Yeah.
Yeah, we think so.
Now, what about the wheelie bin? Because it seemed to me he didn't have four wheels.
Is this, are we talking about Hurrell?
Yeah.
I reckon Sam knows exactly what he was saying around this point, because around about the 26-minute mark, he knocked on. And all I could hear on Sky Sports was, you fat bastard chant coming from the fans. So
that was from the opposite side to us. I'm with the Prawn Sandwich Brigade.
We were just,
oh, hard luck, young man.
He was pushed around like a wheelie bin, though, wasn't he?
He didn't get anywhere. He was.
I tell you what, and until, well, we'll come on to it right at the end, but until right at the end of the game, Ratkins, and with the help in parts of Austin, had him in his pocket, so much so that he had to start going inside and taking on our forwards, who just stood straight up to him and just smacked him back, including when you're on about and he dropped the ball.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they can't. Leeds fans could not have been happy with their three signings last night. None of them really, you know, did they really?
They seem to lack direction, and I don't see that Myler or Lola here are going to give them true direction around the pitch.
It's funny you should say that, Sam, because I must rewind the tape and see who mentioned that last week. Can't think who it was. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, was it the same person who said it was going to be an 18-all draw?
I've lost the signal. Can anyone hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Don't forget, he's a week behind.
Schnell. Right, well, that pretty much is the first half. We haven't actually spoken about Clark, have we? Clark just crawls his way over. I think that army training under the netted mesh pre-season obviously helped him.
He was probably one of the strongest players, I thought. Again, he played all the half, didn't he? And he was basically giving his impetus all the way, running from dummy half.
I would have thought on the assault course, on the Krypton factor, Clark would probably set a record. I mean, God help him on the general knowledge round, but under the mesh, over the wall, through the tyres, you can't beat Clark, can you?
No, he was immense. And that try probably summed up the first half, because all of our forwards were pushing through the line. They were making it difficult for them. Leeds defenders were dropping off. And on this occasion, they dropped off 2 yards from the line. He got up and he bounced up and he scored. And well deserved.
Well, if there was one moment in the first half where I think it just summed Leeds up, it was in the 37th minute. They were close to the Warrington line. And on the fifth tackle, they just drove the ball forward. They didn't seem to have any understanding that it was the fifth tackle. No one was shouting the play. I think Ferner in the stand you could see him pulling his hair out. He just thought, what have I got to get hold of here? You got fond memories of Warrington, of your career over here. What are the strongest memories you'll take home with you?
Oh, the Langshu Cup, the Hull when I was the captain, and the, you know, whatever it was, Harry Sunderland winner, and then the premiership run in when we nearly won it. And of course, even the Regal Trophy getting there, you know, Keithley in the dying seconds, I remember coming up with an ankle tap that just about saved us, and Jonathan put off some magic. Some memories like that. Castleford in the Sky game a couple of years back, that was a beauty. And besides the rugby league, you know, everyone in the town that's really helped me out.
All right, well, that about sums up the first half. We'll come on to the second half a little bit later. But certainly, the segment that I've been looking forward to this week, last week she brought us the news of Gareth Widdop will possibly be joining The Wire by the end of this season. And then lo and behold, we lose Kevin Brown. Perhaps she knows more. Perhaps this is all making sense now. Anyway, earlier this week, Dennis put another call into the psychic down there in Glastonbury, Madam Boyd.
Hello, this is Hugo out the control tower. Do you want number 77?
Good evening, Madam Boyd speaking.
Ah, Madam Boyd, Sir Dennis Waywell again.
Oh, Mr. Waywell, I've been expecting your call.
So, Madam Boyd, could we have this week's prediction, please?
Tony, please retrieve my balls. Thank you.
Who's Tony, Madam Boyd?
Never mind him, dear. Now I'm going to rub my balls for this week's prediction.
Yeah. I suppose we're looking for news on any new players this year.
Yes, let me feel and rub my balls. Yes, I can hear kicking and clapping. Yes, I think he's coming through as another code. Yes, it's another code. His season will finish sooner and join yours before it ends.
Anything else to add to that at all?
I'm sorry, dear. That is all I can offer at this moment. I must go now and do some more rubbing of my balls. Goodbye.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Ooh, so who could that be? JPR Williams? Dusty Hare? Bill Beaumont? Who are we thinking?
Beyond me, I don't really think about who's in the other code and where they are, so I don't really know.
When she says other code, I presume she's referring to that other code.
Are we going to mention it on this podcast, the other code?
What code?
Sam?
You sure she doesn't mean American football? It's not Jared Hayne coming back, is it?
That's probably the code.
It's not the Da Vinci code.
No. Well, we'll wait and see. She's been proven right before. Do we know when the season finishes? If that happens, I guess it would be similar to when Charnley came over.
Yeah, it was. It would be April time, won't it? Depending on if they have similar playoffs a bit longer than ours, but it depends if the team involved are in the playoffs, I guess.
Okay.
Well, we heard it here first. I'll be going back to her next week and pushing her for anything. If any of our listeners wants to ask any, inquisitive questions of the future, then let us know.
And she seems to have someone down there with her now.
Yeah, I couldn't quite pick up who it was, actually. It was someone on the phone, muffled voice and so on. But yeah, someone called Tony. I'll have to ask exactly what that's about next week.
We'll see how that progresses. Okay, let's move on to the second half then. First 10 minutes, second half, pretty much just an arm wrestle, really. Nothing really happened. We just went back and two up the field. And then on the 58th minute, Austin throws a lovely short flat pass to King. King throws it back to Austin. Austin goes in under the just to the left of the sticks there, celebrates in front of the Leeds fans. I'd have loved to have seen what the Leeds fans were doing. I don't know if you realised what Endy was celebrating to, but I think that was the moment we thought, well, this guy's brought us more now in 50 minutes of football than Tyrone Roberts brought us in an entire season.
Australian rugby league player, over here, this winter, playing in the cold, what you need is a heater. A Tyrone heater. Yes, that's right, a Tyrone heater. It's Australian weather in a box. Simply plug in anywhere and experience the heat of the outback. With Tyrone Heater, you can use it anywhere. At home, at work, even in the dressing room. It warms your feet, hands, and for slightly balding players, the top of your head. My goodness, it even warms your ass. Just sit on it. A Tyrone Heater comes with a 3-year contract. And if you don't like it, after a year, you can just piss off anyway. A Tyrone Heater. Oh no!
Yeah, it was noticeable at the ground as well. Through the first half, he'd threatened to break through. We've already touched on that. And then that moment then, the whole link actually, Sky did quite a nice piece on it. John Wells did quite a nice piece on it, how it was set up, how the lines were all running right. And yet he burst into life, and Toby King was right there, and he soft hands to pass it back to him. Toby King's fantasy. Showing some of the soft hands this week.
Here we go again.
But actually, I think Austin and King will big up Austin for a moment. He just lifted the crowd, and the crowd wanted to respond to him. There's no stats on that. You just feel it in the ground. There was an expectation and excitement every time he was near the ball, and he was running down the right, running down the left. He was all over the place. He just wanted, like a kid in the school playground, just give me the ball. I want to do something with it. Brilliant. Absolutely.
Excuse me. I want to go into the library and read.
I don't think we can underestimate King's part in it. He ran a great line. I went on to the Super League site this morning just to double check, and he got through quite a lot of work. He got through 41 tackles. He only missed two tackle busts. Obviously a try assist. Really impressed. Considering when we looked at the team sheet and thought, what the hell's he doing second row?
Well, I have to say, I mean, I spoke to you two prior to the game, and I was all in favour for putting Toby King into the second row. I thought it was going to be a master stroke, and I was proven right.
I might tweet your actual text to me.
Dennis, do you want to sum Austin up before we move on?
An Austin what?
Do you want to sum Austin up before we move on?
Oh, no. Let's revisit this.
All right, fair enough. Okay, mate. Well, look, 58th minute, he throws this flat ball to King, and then in the 71st minute, he nearly does it again. He throws another flat ball to King. King runs through, he's tackled in the end. It's all a bit of a mess, but there's a bit of a relationship cracking up there between Austin and King. I don't think King will be moved from that position now. I think we'll find him there week in, week out, possibly until the wonderful Ben Curry comes back.
Yeah. Ben Curry, where does he fit in when he comes back?
I don't
know,
but he's a marvellous player, and I can't wait to see him back in the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he has his knockers. Sam did knock him a bit last week, but I think the real fan understands completely what Ben Curry's about, and he'll prove you all wrong.
This is like listening to Donald Trump, wasn't it? A different version of reality.
You know what? You went for a curry last night, and you had your chance to apologise right up the front, but you didn't mention it.
What kind of curry did you have, Sam?
Rogan Josh.
Rogan Josh.
Peshwari Nan.
I think we can.
I was on the red wine by then. I'd had too much beer.
We can measure Ben Curry's comeback on the type of curry analogy that Sam has when he goes after the match.
Right. Well, Rogan Josh is a bit wet, isn't it? A bit tomatoey and wet, really. Yeah, so yeah. Needs to be more of a... I think it needs to be at least a Madras before we see him back on the pitch.
So are we going to give him a Vindaloo as the best one?
Well, I would say a foul.
Right, OK. I'll make a note of that.
A mate of mine at Leeds University had a foul on the last day of term, and he shat himself senseless for 2 weeks.
I remember as a young kid leaning on the wall at Knowsley Road when Saints were playing Warrington, and you were frightened of Bevan getting the ball. You really were. You didn't want Bevan to get the ball because he was a rugby freak.
The chairman at Warrington, his wife said, "What have you bought somebody like that for?"
To see the man, you never expected that he played rugby league.
We never knew what he was going to do.
No question of it.
He was phenomenal.
Because I've seen him run 40, 50 yards back and come through and score. If he's got a yard to work in and I give him the ball, it'll be a try.
He really wanted to score. That was his life. That was his life's mission, scoring tries. And that was all he wanted to do.
He was a well-off. I don't think there would be anybody that could do what he did.
Seventy-third minute, it's the end of King's Knight, spear tackle. Was he put on report?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, you know what? It's going to give it be ridiculous. You see, the thing about it is it worth a sin bin in? And then I go back to my last week's tackle bags. Would you really have somebody off the pitch 10 minutes for, you know, what is deemed, all right, it's an illegal tackle, but, you know, it's going to be a very sort of borderline case every time someone's legs go up.
Mm. Well, we nearly played 60 minutes last night with 12 men.
Yeah.
Wasn't far off.
Hey, I tell you one thing I did note down.
20 minutes.
When Danny Walker came on, he was like a little terrier with a firework up his arse. He didn't half really spice things up when we needed it. He'd be a good, like, you know, bring him on with Ben Burdock Masilla, really, because I think with a pair of them coming on, he's big bash bosh, and then he can run behind and scoot away.
Yeah. So, like, Murdoch Masella's like the big cowpat, and Danny Walker's like the little fly buzzing around him.
Yes, good analogy.
Mm. Yeah, I can see it there. Okay, well, 76 minute, Leeds finally score. Not much to say there. We're down to 12 men, game's over. Probably a little bit of a shout out to Charnley in the last few minutes. Comes up with two try saving tackles over there on his side. Game over. I'll go to you first, Sam. Your man of the match.
Yeah, difficult, isn't it? I think the moment of the game was the Austin try, but my man of the match, I know they gave it on TV to Ratchford. I think it was that first 25 minutes spell, and I would go Clark, probably. Clark just sparked us. It's hard to pick one of them, really. Clark, Hill, Westwood.
Well, it's great to see that it's so hard to pick. I mean, it was almost just that the man of the match was the team, wasn't it? It was everyone exactly. Played their part last night. There wasn't really anyone in the team that let us down last night. I think everyone had a good game.
It's early days, but excellent first up performance that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Dennis, your man of the match.
I would go with Clark as well. And when I was driving through Glastonbury yesterday, Clark's, the shoe manufacturer, has the biggest factory in Glastonbury. I don't know what I'm actually aiming for there, but my shoes are awfully thin at the moment.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I've always thought Clarks are a wonderful shoe. They give you the support you need at a reasonable price. I have quite a wide foot. I've always found that Clark gives me more comfort than other brands. But that's just coincidental.
The other thing is to note as well is that I always tend to have more than one pair. So having two Clarks in the team is probably quite a good thing to have.
Very true. Very true. Okay, one last question. How good were Wire and how poor were Leeds?
Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
Leeds were shit.
They were when you compared them to the teams of just recent past, weren't they? They were a bit all over the place.
They were wank.
Yeah. Yeah, but Sam, there wasn't even any action.
Do you want to go up on a shit or a wank?
Yeah, no, but that's an adjective that has a bit of impetus about it, surely. I mean, they didn't have nothing.
It's true.
They were very disappointing. They were all over the place. Actually, they weren't disappointing. I hope every team we play this year are that crap. But it's hard to... If we were really on it, we'd 100% effort last night. First match, we were good. But we missed a couple of those. We missed a couple of those chances to score where we weren't quite slick enough. First half, we dropped a couple of balls when making half breaks. So... we weren't quite on it, but we were so strong and they just crumbled. They had nothing in defence. They were going backwards all the time, weren't they?
Okay. Well, look, I'm going to be a little bit contentious now. I'm going to put it out there. I thought there was possibly one player on the team that didn't quite match up to the rest of them, and that was Dec Patton. He kicked three balls in the first half. Two were lame bombs up into the air. The third one went completely out and into touch. I don't remember seeing him in the second half. A few people said, well, it was him that threw the ball that led to the first try for Ratchford. My 13-year-old daughter who plays touch footy could throw that ball with her eyes shut. I mean, it was nothing special. Are we going to see at some point a new scrum half at Warrington this year based on what we saw last night?
We discussed Dec Patton last night after the match with the lads I go with, and a couple of them watch a lot of academy and old A-team football, and they've said as he's been coming through, he's never been special. He's just been all right all the way through the age stuff. Whereas Morgan Smith came in, ripping it up and then faded. And other players like that. But they did say he doesn't have to be special this year. He just has to be consistently good and kick better. Okay. Because it looks like the axis for attack is going to be Austin and Ratchford.
I thought the kicking last night was a little bit poor. I thought that was the one area where, when you watched the Roberts bombs go up last year, they went up high in the air. Last night, they were all a bit lame, the kicks that went up. We got lucky on one. One came off the side of Austin's foot, and somehow it ended up in goal, and we got them back for another set of six. But I just thought that was our one weakness. Austin actually made a comment on that at the end of the game, so they know what to work on.
You've got to remember, mind, he's basically sort of been thrown in at the deep end. His mentality hasn't been that he's going to be like the second half in a team. He sort of like got, you know, that came in the past week. So he's Aaron, you've got to give him 10 days.
Hang on. He's been in and around the team for 3 or 4 years now. If he was a top class half, he'd have stamped his authority on that position by now. He's got an extended run, so let's see if he can do all right. But I don't get that he's thrown in at the deep end. He's been training with them all close season. He is the backup half.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, he's always played second fiddle, and you have a different mentality of that. And playing second fiddle as like the barber of Seville would be is that, you know, until you get to the very end. Then you need that opportunity without anybody else sort of interfering with your intentions.
Well,
are you familiar with
that? That brings me on, Dennis. That's a very good link, because we've had the Barber of Seville, and now we have the sequel, the Barber of Townsville. Can we assume the production of the Barber of Townsville will be coming soon to Clockface Labour Club St Helens?
I've got a feeling that they've not quite ventured that part of the opera community.
Hey, lads, what's this shirt they've got on? Fucking hell, I've not paid a pound for coming here to listen to this shite.
When's Tinterval?
Because I've been here so long, I know what it is and it means to the fans of to win something.
That even when each one of us have gone, that we leave behind something that's rolling and going to be successful in the future, that whoever comes in continues that role of success.
The club, I think, has been a focal point of the town, whereas people can say, you know, Warrington, that rugby league, Liverpool, football, Manchester football, Warrington, it's known for its rugby league.
Okay, the other thing that has come to light this week, of course, is the shot clock. Dennis, you sent me a Watts snatch message earlier this week to say that it was leading to a little bit of anxiety. You're not happy with it?
Well, I'll be honest, it has actually speeded things up a bit because I was getting sick to death of this game taking about 100 minutes to bloody come to an end because everybody's ambling back. And it reminded me of the other code, if I'm honest. And I didn't really like where the game was going last year. So it's certainly a help with that. But I don't think they need to keep putting it on the bloody TV all the time and reminding me how many seconds are left. Jesus Christ.
And also, it's a very bad graphic. It looks like it's some kind of analog DOS-based computer they're using. Have you noticed that?
Maybe. I'm glad you've mentioned that. I've been doing a bit of research this week on fonts. And the font I find very disturbing. I think, it's very old-fashioned. And
is
what
it
they should
Comic
be looking
Scan?
At, no, that's too rounded. This is it's quite sharp, but I've been looking at one called Power Grid 2.0. And that is really like, you know, like the old Adidas numbers on the back of the shirts.
I Dream About Sex. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's the one, I think.
Unlike Foods, which was fucking useless Japanese import.
Yes, that's the one. That's the sort of font you should be going at. So a little font section there, just to set you two away from the boring stuff.
You need to fight to the RFL then and mention that the font isn't good enough, and if they could move away from a DOS-based computer, we're happy with it, yeah?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Let me know when I can wake up.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because we've reached the moment in the show, for all you insomniacs out there, it's Dennis Waywell's Tackle Bags. Dennis, over to you.
Well, after last week's tackle bag full of letters from various listeners, the question was, the sin bin, should we have a sin bin style like the NHL? I got about 20 letters,
Who writes a letter?
Well, all right, email. It's the modern letter, isn't it? I'm just, I didn't actually get
any. Email then, Dennis. Don't say letter.
Email. I got emails. Anyway. It was about 80% said keep it, 15% said yes, let's change it, and 5% other, and I'll just sum them up. So I just took an example of each one. T. Foley thinks it acts as a backstop. So I don't know whether he's like thinking it like Brexit or whatever. I've no idea, but as though like he's basically saying, oh, well, it'll stop him, sort of going committing it a professional foul and then knowing that they'll get the player back and take the risk that way. Mm. I had an email off Kelly. Could be a girl, but she just said, sounds good, cool. So I think she was just trying to say that ice hockey was cool.
Where did that email come from, Alberta?
It could well be. I didn't say that. And the last one was someone's handle, Alf Ramsey's Porn Dungeon, just said bollocks. Anyway, moving on to this week, Dennis. Yes, this week, big data analytics. So, modern day performance, people and in health and so on, they're looking at other things other than the normal physio that determines whether a player's fit or not. Also, so what they introduce now, levels of stress, insights into the nervous system, hormones. So they all contribute to a player's fitness. So the question is, based on these results, and if a player seems perfectly well to play, would you drop that player?
Hello, Winnick Psychiatric Ward, Nurse Draper speaking. How may I help you?
Oh, hello, yes. It's Rob London here. I was hoping I could submit a friend of mine, Dennis Waywell.
Okay, what are his symptoms, please?
Well, just general rambling, really, with no comprehension.
And is he deluded? Does he realise he's utterly bonkers?
He's got no idea. He's oblivious to his own condition.
Is he transfixed on anything?
Oh, yes, a Yorkshire craft beer called Timothy Taylor. Although, to be fair, it's an excellent beverage.
Yes, so I hear. How's his general hygiene?
Well, it's okay, I guess.
Don't worry, we bathe all patients and use state-of-the-art hand dryers.
So what do you think, Nurse Draper?
Well, I think we may have a vacancy for Dennis, but he'll need to meet and have a consultation with Professor Vandeveld first.
Excellent, I'll be in touch. Oh, Nurse Draper?
Yes?
Are you wearing one of those tight uniforms that...
Goodbye!
And now imagine if that was a marquee player. Would you as a coach be willing to drop your marquee player? So, any thoughts in the studio?
Studio? Blimey, we are going up market after 1 week.
I think it's on points of view.
Arsene Wenger used to employ that at Arsenal, didn't he? They used to call it the players going into the red zone. And I know he got quite a bit of ridicule. He got quite a lot of ridicule for dropping players who seemed fit, rotating them. I suppose it's the balance between sports science and what, as a coach, your gut feeling is, I guess, most of the time, even half injured players want to play.
I want to know what Tony Smith was basing his decision making on, because he had fuck all to do with anything in sometimes.
Well, I think Wenger, he got all the dentistry records of all the players, didn't he, when he arrived at Arsenal, and anyone that had bad teeth he got rid of. I mean, I had a quarter or a half of Midget Gems on the way home from school every day, so that was me gone. Which actually brings me back on to going to the dentist on Museum Street in Warrington. Always would go early and then pop into the museum and have a look at that seal that was shot coming up the Mersey.
I didn't go to that museum. I was north of the river, wasn't I?
Right.
The only body of water I can think of I may have dipped in was probably the Orford Pond. There was a myth about that. There was like a giant eel in there. It was about 3 foot deep. It was probably
it was even 3 foot, was it?
No, I think it was just probably a load of like four core armoured cable that was being stored there, ready to take to the scrap merchant.
Well, when you were dipped in there, Dennis, there's no doubt your mother had you in a headlock. Okay, all right, moving on. We do have a game next week. Dennis didn't think we had a game for 3 weeks, but Sam proved him wrong before we hit the record button. So next week we have Hulkingston Rovers at home. Having watched the competitive but possibly not the best skillful game of the two Hull sides, there's nothing to worry about here, right?
No, us at home, as long as we've got the same attitude as last night, us at home, we'll just run over them. We'll absolutely batter them.
Yeah. Do you think we'll have any rotation? We think we're going to start with the same 17?
Well, I suppose it depends what they are like when they go into training this week and if everyone's got any particular knocks, but I wouldn't change it. What the two that were dropped from the two that were dropped from the squad were Tarzi and Mamo. Would you bring Tarzi in to replace any of the forwards if they weren't injured? Would you bring Mamo in to replace any of the backs that played last night if they weren't injured? Nah, keep it as it is.
Yeah, I think looking at the back line last night, I mean, I would have liked Mamo to start, but based on what we saw, really, I don't know where you could put him. The only possibility is, as the season wears on, that we might see Ratchford go into the halves. You know, there's no difference between a 7 and a 6 these days, apart from one of them's going to put it in the scrum, and we end up with Mamo at fullback. That's possibly the one that may eventuate, depending on what Patton's performances turn out to be.
Yeah, I think you might be right, and it might also be interesting to see whether, going back to Dennis's tackle bags, whether he looks at Atkins and Goodwin, assuming they keep the form, but given their ages, does he rotate them with Toby King or even Mamo?
Thing is, at that age, you can't put them in the cold for too long, can you, really? You need to keep them warm.
Keep them moving. Yeah. I wonder if they get winter fuel allowance.
Well, if they don't, they should really just get something that, you know, gives them a bit of a pep in the winter.
Okay. All right, well, let's have your predictions then. Dennis, you nearly got it spot on last week, so we'll go to you first.
I still think we might have a bit of a, letting a couple of tries. I'm going 34-12. I'm going to give us a few more tries onto us, but we're going to let in a couple of tries.
Sam?
I'd just written the same thing down. So to be different, I'm going to say 32 because Ratchford will miss two of the kicks, two of the conversions. So we'll score 6-2.
Okay, fair enough. I just have this inkling it's going to be closer. I'm going for an 18-all draw.
What? Even after extra time?
No one will kick a drop goal. No one will kick the extra point. Okay, you'll be pleased to know. That's it for this week. So thanks for listening. Can we just say a huge thank you to everyone who downloaded the show last week? We've had over 900 downloads. Please spread the word and let's try and make episode 2 over 1,000. As always, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to Dennis on the back of a postage stamp, whatever you do, or you can go to Twitter at whatbevan or email us at whatbevan@gmail.com. So it's thanks and goodbye from Dennis Waywell.
Seeing you.
Sam Sankey.
All the best.
And it's a goodbye from me, Rob London. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? You see, there's nothing to this second album. Has anyone got Pete Waterman's number?